Support for The Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by LiveSource, the premier app for auctions at live events. LiveSource is an online auction and raffle platform that allows your fans and supporters to bid and buy from their phones and computers from anywhere. LiveSource cannot be simpler or more effective, which is why more than 300 professional and collegiate sports teams and thousands of charities and athletes utilize their services to generate revenue and collect data. If you sign up with LiveSource now, you will benefit from their lowest possible pricing and they'll waive their upfront fees. You can email them at hello@livesourceapp.com. That's hello, H-E-L-L-O, at livesourceapp.com. In today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show, we sat down with Mike Van Hise, the general manager for the Boise Hawks Professional Baseball Club of the Northwest League. Mike is an experienced general manager with a demonstrated history of working in the sports industry. He's had extensive tenures at clubs such as the Lakewood Blue Claws and the Augusta Green Jackets, and is a 2004 graduate of Rowan University. Here's his story. We hope you enjoy.
All right, back for another show. And don't forget, we are now sponsored by LiveSource. They're an online auction and raffle company. Great for teams all over. It's a great way to engage with fans, especially now with a lot of people not even being able to have fans in stands. So off seasons, but check out the LiveSourceApp.com. It's pretty cool. They've been great to work with so far. But I got another special guest today. He's out in Boise. So he's out a little bit. It sounds cold out there compared to where I'm at in Central Florida. But I got Mike Van Hise. How's it going, Mike?
Andrew, how you doing today? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, you look all bundled up, man. It looks like it's cold there.
It's 30-something, I would gladly trade spots with you if you're in Central Florida. We can trade, no problem.
Well, like yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before I went out, because I typically will go get my coffee. I'm working out of the house, so I'll go get my coffee, and it's starting to get cold here. And so I was like, I remembered I had a remote starter on my car. So now I start to do that, and it's 50 degrees here or something. But
thoughts and prayers, Andrew. Thoughts and prayers.
Yes, yes, yes. I need it. Well, I'm curious to kind of get to see your journey and see, number one, how you got to Boise. Number one is, it looks like a cool city. And, I've had some other people on the show from Boise as well. So it'll be kind of cool to hear about your journey. We were in some of the same regions at different points, but kind of walk us through, where you're from and kind of your journey.
Yeah. So started from the bottom, as they say. No, I was born and raised in Toms River, New Jersey, which is right there if you've seen the Jersey Shore, you're familiar with the show. I mean, right across the bridge, 5 minutes away. I seem to be, a lot of people recognize me as much like the guys on the show. So,
are you
similar.
A fan of the show?
No.
Okay.
I think the people who, are from the area are not fans of the show. I think the people who are from maybe the North Jersey or New York, Staten Island area are huge fans of the show because they see a lot of themselves. I promise you, living in that area was not even remotely close to the lifestyle that they led. At least in my experience.
So, I had a kid working for me in Fredericksburg who's a big fan of the show, and I was like, "What? I've never seen it, so I don't know."
I mean, it's one of those things is like you watch the show and you're like, "That's not even remotely close to what I remember." And going to the same bars, same
block.
Clubs, living. Yeah, I know where they're at, and it's not like that at all. So. that made me think that maybe they're used some flexibility to get that to the life that they wanted to express, not the life that we actually all
live. Those are all hired models. They're not just normal people going out.
I mean, I saw them in the in the wild, as they say, as they were filming the show, and it was really fascinating. Is that you got the you see the video of them walking down the boardwalk, and it's just the two of them. And you're like, there's nobody around there. There are hundreds and hundreds of people just circling them, but they had all the security that they needed. So I don't think at that time you could have walked down the boardwalk without bumping into people left and right. And those guys had no problem doing that. So,
right.
But yeah, that's where I'm from. Went to a small school outside Philadelphia, Rowan University. Bounced around from major to major. Landed on political science, which is interesting of how I ended up where I am right now. After college, decided to take a gap year. I was planning on going to law school, and I think that was the plan from really the get-go, and decided I would take an internship with the local team from where I grew up, the Lakeland Blue Claws. I said, hey, if I don't like it, it's 1 year, I'll go back, I'll go to law school. If I do like it, maybe it's something I can actually turn into a career. And that was, as we say, 16 years ago. So 9 years in Lakewood, started in group sales, went to ticket sales, sponsorship sales, game entertainment, and then got the opportunity to be recruited down to the Augusta Green Jackets in Georgia. Went down there for a couple years. And then our group in Georgia owns the Boise Hawks, purchased them at the end of 2014. So a year later, moved out there to Boise. I've been there ever since. So
same ownership still for both those teams?
Yes, same ownership that owns Augusta also owns Boise. So okay. That was an easy.
So when you were
asked me to go out there, it was a no-brainer after coming out and visiting the city. It really, like you mentioned, the city is awesome. It's unique in that it's probably the most isolated city in the entire country, but that means we – what's that?
No, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
Freezing up a little bit. I can cut.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the most isolated city. Yeah, I think I agree. most isolated city in the country, so we have everything. We've got a major we got a hockey team, we got a baseball team, a major football team in Boise State University, and so a zoo and all those fun things. But yeah, we got everything. We were mountains, desert, valley, all the things that 20 minutes outside of town either way, and you're looking at some of the most beautiful scenery in the entire world.
So when you were kind of getting into it with the Blue Claws, did you, I know, most people are getting in there as sales to kind of start. Did you, kind of have a passion for sales, or were you just, it was kind of like a job to get you into sports?
You know, it was funny because I actually applied for the baseball operations job, in which I thought might have been, player stuff and all that fun things, and then found out it was plunging toilets and things along those lines. So one of the things I was always really good to is chatting with folks and doing that relationship building through college, and kind of having the what I saw was a lot of the things that I did in the political world, which was campaign managing and things along those lines. I saw a great transition into maybe a sales position, because at the end of the day, everybody's selling something. So figured I'd do it for a year. If I didn't like it, it was 1 year. If I fell in love with it, might be something where I could. And then I did, as some would say, a pretty good job. And they hired me, and I stayed there for 9 years.
So you were involved in political campaigns too?
Yeah, I worked on three or four campaigns, mostly in the nice. Field operation side of it, getting out, knocking on doors, making phone calls. When you start thinking about that stuff there was a lot of overlapping, especially more on the management side. But for the first part on the sales job, where it's just like hand-to-hand combat, face-to-face, fight with people day in and day out. At least I could, at the end of the day, I was trying to sell them to go to something fun instead of, the third rail, as they say, of politics.
Yeah, no, and I kind of dabbled in the political thing. I ran for state representative. Back in 2010. And I lost, but it was a good experience. And I you're right, though, there are a lot of things that transition well from knocking on doors, just being able to talk to people, overcoming objections. when I was out there campaigning, it's like, hey, vote for me. Well, why do they want to? Why do they want to buy tickets? Why do they want to come out to the game? So
talking about overcoming objections, you're talking about 50-50 shot of actually talking to someone that doesn't mind looking at your face when you're in politics.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in it right now with the climate. I'd rather stay away. But no, that's pretty cool. And the Blue Claws have had a lot of success out there. So when you went from the Blue Claws down to Augusta, was that, did you get more leadership roles there, or was it still kind of the same type of thing?
I think that had that was probably my primary thing. I was kind of bouncing around from department to department in Lakewood, always every year gathering more responsibility, but never really being able to have full responsibility of a department. So it was always like, hey, we want you to do this, and it was another three or four duties, and but oh, also do the things that you've been doing before. When I made the move to Augusta, it was a new challenge. Obviously, if you've ever seen Lake Olmsted Stadium down there, because it was prior to the SRP Park days, it was a challenging ballpark to work in. So I looked at that and saw a brand new challenge to bring people out to that ballpark. And we did a really, I would say, a really, really great job a couple of years, and was able to run the ticketing department. I was director of ticket sales. So I was focused on the big three groups, seasons groups and individual tickets, and really could handle the day-to-day of all that, instead of having to do a little bit of here, a little bit of there, being a master of all trades, when I could actually go and focus on a department.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's good, because you can really kind of hone in those skills, especially, you know, for like a role like you have now. I mean, you want to be well-versed so that, you know, if there's turnover, you need to step up and do more. Or if you need to mentor someone, you know, you mm-hmm. just have as much experience as possible.
And we know, and from all the people you've taught, ticketing is the lifeblood of our business. And I hate to use the cliche that I'm sure everybody uses, but it's at the end of the day, you know, a billboard doesn't sell a hot dog and a billboard doesn't sell a t-shirt, but every single human being I can get to walk in there is someone that could buy a hot dog, a soda, and get a beer, and get a t-shirt. So it's the exponential revenues that you see there is why ticketing, and at least in our in season ticketing, especially in our business program, in our company, Aegon Sports, is so primarily important in the day to day.
Are you a big baseball fan? Like, why baseball?
Baseball is probably third on my list. growing up a Mets fan has made things difficult to really love the sport. Football, basketball, you know, basketball growing up was definitely number one. I played it. I was a giant Knicks fan back when the Knicks were the Knicks in 96 with Starks and Ewing and Oakley.
Oh, man, that was my favorite team, too. Yeah. Starks, my favorite player. Yeah.
Oh, wow. If you have time, I'll tell you a John Starks story. I don't know. You might have to cut it out.
nope. Let's talk about it.
When I was in Lakewood, we had the opportunity to have John Starks come to a game. Now, growing up, John Starks was my number one player. I wore number three. I shot threes at an alarmingly bad rate, just like John Starks. And was my hero growing up. My father was my hero, but professional athlete that I looked at was John Starks. And I heard he was coming to the ballpark. He was doing an appearance, an autograph signing. And I mean, I was just pumped and jazzed and ready to roll. I had my Knicks shirt and I had everything ready to go, and running around doing my pregame responsibilities of tens of thousands of things I do. And then I'm like, I just get this done, and then I'll get to meet John Starks for the first time in my entire life. And so I get all my stuff done, and I'm like, all right, let me quickly in our office, we have a bathroom. And I'm like, let me just quickly use the restroom, and then I'll go find John Starks and meet him. And the door's locked. And I'm like, so I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Finally, the door opens up and all six of them right in front of me. Just, I got to go to the bathroom. He just used the bathroom. The first time I got to meet my hero was going next in line. So I didn't say anything. I just kind of was like, how you doing? We'll handle this stuff later. We'll handle the fanboy stuff later. So I did get a chance to meet with him. I did get a chance to talk with him. But I waited until after that for our second encounter, not necessarily our first.
So what did it feel like when you sat on that warm seat in the restroom after?
Yeah, it was a onesie. It wasn't a twosie. Oh.
Okay. All right. That's funny though. John Starks, I will I had a basketball team at one point, and I wanted John Starks as my head coach so bad. Just could not get it. Couldn't even get to him back then. I mean, that was almost 20 years ago, yeah. But I'm not really big into like, oh, I want to meet these people or that. Like, he's one that I would like to meet just because, you know, my childhood, he was like, he was the guy. I would go to Madison Square Gardens as a kid, like once or twice a year.
And, oh yeah.
It was just cool. And the Knicks were, you know, they kind of had that, you know, Charles Oakley, and they just had some kind of thugs on the team. It was a tough team.
Oh, Anthony Mason fighting people.
Yeah, exactly. And so, fun time.
You know, you must have been some of the lucky people that got to go to Madison Square Garden. Me and my family, we went to Brendan Byrne Arena or Continental Airlines, and we watched the Nets play the Nets. Knicks because my father didn't want to go into New York City because of the traffic or taking the train. What if we missed the last train at 1:51? So we never went to MSG. We always hopped on the turnpike and made it to exit, was a 16W to
Izod
Center or whatever.
I would have liked to check the game out there. My aunt lived in New York City, so as a kid I'd go visit her, and then you know, I got to go to Yankees instead of Mets, but Yankees the Knicks. So it's fun. The Knicks.
So long story short. No, I'm not a huge baseball fan. Love this. I do love the sport, and obviously I have a super passion for it. I've been in it for 16 years. I really enjoy the back end side of it, probably more than the front end side, which is a great job to have because I rarely watch any innings.
Well, you don't get a chance to. There's no there's no time. So, so how about when you went out to Boise and you kind of were in a management position there? What kind of staff, you know, was it, you know, small staff? Did you have some direct reports?
I have a bunch of direct reports now. We're up to 13 here, 13 people in Boise. Every year it seems that we get to add one or two. We were in 2014 or in 2015. I wasn't here. I started here the winter after. We took over for an ownership group and a management company that, wasn't doing the greatest of jobs. Had their challenges, obviously, with budgeting and things like that. And what we were able to do is kind of almost start over and rebuild the franchise, keeping the name, keeping the logo, keeping all the things that the outwards. But on the inside, we're able to invest not only in the ballpark, which is at this point 30 something years old, but invest in people. So every year we're adding a salesperson, adding a marketing person, a corporate salesperson, some people on the operations side, so that we could get the team to the size that we want to do. And 13 for a short season team at the time, back in 2019 is a good size. I think we were one of the bigger staffs in maybe minor league baseball when it came to the short season side, but we were trying to do it. We were doing a lot. We were doing great numbers in season seats, great numbers in groups and individual tickets. So people were just getting excited to go back out to Boise Hawks games. So we had to overcome some of the objections of, you know, previous years. I went out there 10 years ago, stadium's falling apart, things along those lines, and say, no, right, things are better. I promise you. And then actually we put convince paint on those it. People to come back out.
Yeah.
We painted it over for the third time, or we replaced it. And we replaced it with something new as opposed to replacing it with something older. So. Yeah. And that's no knock on the previous group. Some of the things that I heard, they talked about, at least in passing, was just, you know, they didn't have the support that the support structure that our group puts in place. And so we've been blessed that way, and that we have a great support team and on the management side that, you know, will let us take chances and let us take opportunities to, make mistakes here and there. As long as they're not, you know, five figure mistakes,
Right.
Get a one or two, you know, a two or three figure mistake. But when you start getting a five figure mistakes, they don't really tend to like that much.
How about the, the parent company for you guys? Any other teams besides you guys and Augusta?
No, it's just us two right now. We're looking at, expansion is always always in the cards. Obviously, with some of the things that have been happening recently with minor league baseball, we are in conversations with the USL franchise about bringing it possibly to Boise. So there's expansion coming on the way, from my understanding. But right now it's just the two of us, and what's great is that we kind of have that overlap, and our vice president Bob and myself have both spent time in Augusta. Okay. And I worked with both Tom and Brandon out in Augusta, overlapping a year with Brandon and 2 years with Tom. So there's a great back and forth idea sharing and thought sharing that we have on a probably every morning basis, at least, especially with Tom. There's always a morning text of PMA, positive mental attitude, or something like that. And or I'll ask Tom what he's doing today, and he'll knock me for what I'm not doing today, stuff like that.
No, it's good though. It's good to have more than just, your team. And, I know every market has its own little, things about it, but there's a lot of things that you can share and help each other be more successful, and then just push each other too. So that's pretty cool. So you've been in baseball for, 15 plus years, it looks like. What is kind of like, what are some of the best promos that you have been a part of? Because baseball, when I think of baseball, that's what I think of, like crazy promos. Some work and some don't.
That's a great question. One of the things that we've done in Augusta and here, that if you told me in Lakewood about it, I would have been like, that's disgusting, is Feed Your Face Monday. It's a couple extra bucks per ticket on Mondays. And we get some vendors from outside of our company. And then each one of our concession stands has a free all you can eat food item. So whether it's hot dogs or popcorn or bagel bites or something along those lines. And then we get some companies that come out and sample. And the response that I've seen from that is amazing. Mondays is traditionally, just like the restaurant industry, in the baseball industry, typically the hardest to get people to come out to. The weekend's over, everybody's going to work on Monday. And then the promotion that we were able to throw together, and we stole it from somebody that stole it from somebody that stole it from somebody, is the lines. And I hate lines as much as anybody, but the lines of people in line for free food and is fascinating. That's probably one where if you wrote it down on a piece of paper and asked me to read it and tell me, do you think this would be successful? I would say, man, I just don't know. I don't think you're going to do all right on Monday, and then turn around and find out that it's actually probably one of our more successful or more well-known promotions. When we're at the front gates and people are coming in and they don't know what Feed Your Face Monday is, to watch the light of their face when you tell them that there's probably 7 to 10 items in this ballpark, kind of like a scavenger hunt, that's free, all you can eat until the end of the fourth inning, they just glow. They're just like ready to roll. And you see some people there just on a mission. So
every Monday
home game. So we've done a whole bunch of them, and we'll continue that into 2021.
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's eggheadcreativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at eggheadcreativestudio. Now back to the show.
And it's only like, how much more per ticket is it?
$4 or $5. I mean, it covers the cost.
Now, is it optional, or everyone in the stadium that day is? Okay.
Everybody's in. It's an all-in. We didn't get into the wristbanding part of it because that can just get complicated. Yeah. And you don't want to separate haves and have-nots. So you just say, hey, everybody get in. Everybody get in. It's all you can eat. And
it's a Monday. It's a tough day to sell as it is. So, I think that's definitely, creative. So
I got to think of one that didn't work.
I want to. I always like hearing kind of like a bus, because when you're in the meeting, they all sound like pretty good. You're like, oh yeah, this is great. they don't all work.
I'm trying to. Oh, there. I swear there was one here that didn't work. You know, I'll give you one more that does work well. I think professional wrestlers and doing appearances with professional wrestlers, twofold. One, there's a very small segment of the population that is just super excited. Doesn't matter which one you bring, they're coming out. And then they're super cheap to get, and they will do anything that they're almost like thankful that they get to be there. So,
right.
Those have always been great.
Any crazy stories with bringing in a wrestler? Anything fun?
In Lakewood, we had Hacksaw Jim Duggan. In Lakewood, we had Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and it rained out that day, and he stayed there the entire night. And every person that was online that came, because there was an hour, 90 minute delay. Every person that came there for an autograph, whether they really wanted one or not, got one. And then afterwards we had our kangaroo court. And we're like, hey, do you want to come up to the upstairs bar and have a couple drinks? We're going to do this stupid thing where we all make fun of each other. And he was like, absolutely. So he comes up and we're like, oh, you know, usually just open up the taps. And he was like, yeah, I don't drink beer. And he drinks vodka. So he just drank a ton of vodka. Then you have a couple beers and he has a couple drinks and you really start asking some of the stories of like, give me some of the stuff from like back in the day. And right. he was telling some humdingers and some like old school wrestling 80s, stories.
Yeah, 80s and probably even before
Iron Sheik stories and stuff like that. And you're like, all right, let's go. Like, let's have some fun.
That's pretty cool. So that's a good one to come up with. Have you come up with that bust yet?
That bust, no. I mean, I just want to think maybe just all my ideas are brilliant. And right. I've never had enough.
That's what I always say.
I'll rack my brain. I'll try to find one for you.
So up in Boise, where you're at now, how is it with COVID? Are you guys back in the office yet? Are you all working remotely?
We're back in the office. It's an open communication system. You know, we had a small outbreak. Almost half of our staff ended up with it.
Everybody doing good now?
Everybody's doing good now. There was really no serious problems. If we set everybody up for virtual, if they need to, going through and everybody has laptops and everybody has cameras. So if they start to not feel, if they start to feel ill, they can stay home. That's kind of the plan that we have in place. Things are kind of open here, kind of open, kind of closed. It really depends on the day. So everybody's still coming into the office, but if, you know, on the first sign of somebody having a sore throat or a cough or can't breathe too well, we're closing up, we're shutting down and sending people home or having people work from home. So we went through it once, and if we have to, we'll go through it again.
Yeah. I mean, safety, you know, gotta do what you gotta do. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of work to be done too. I mean, can't just take off. So trying to have that balance, is definitely good. But how about, I was just in MILB this past year, and I know all the, transition stuff. So how did your team make out, and kind of what's the, outlook look like for this upcoming season for you guys?
So we did not receive an invite to join the 120. But shortly after learning that, we secured a spot in the Pioneer League, which is a league that was, it's interesting. And Boise is kind of, like I mentioned earlier, in the most isolated city in the country. We are the furthest east northwest league team. We would be the furthest west Pioneer League team. So we were kind of, we could be in either league really geographically. And so when we started to learn that we weren't going to get an invitation, we engaged with the Pioneer League and were extended invitation to join the Pioneer League as an independent MLB partner league. And so that's kind of the stuff that we're working through right now, more on the management level and more on the ownership level is, as much as it's the Pioneer League has existed for the X amount of years, it's been independent before, but it for you know, for its most recently present been an affiliated team. You know, it's a completely different business model, not only on the team side individually, but also on the league side. So we're rebuilding a league, or building a league and building our teams from the bottom up. And so that's a lot of the stuff that we're working through right now is, or at least, you know, ownership and the board of directors is, you know, what's the player restrictions and stuff like that? How many players are going to be on the team, stuff like that, salary caps. So we're hoping to get those answers here in the next couple of weeks. And so we can start actually, you know, moving forward with, you know, with our plans with a team. So we'll be an independent franchise moving forward, starting right around Memorial Day, from my understanding. And we'll be all going out there and getting our own guys. And, you know, for the longest time, and at least from our last affiliate, who we weren't the best on the field, that's for sure. And so now, you know, when
people had no control.
And we had no control. But so when
now people at least yelling, it's your fault if you guys suck. So
and you're yelling at me because I'm the general manager, which means that I'm the guy that signs the players and brings them in. And I was like, trust me, guys, I have no control over that. You don't want me in control over that. And now no, when the fans are leaving, they can yell at me and I can actually, like, I'd be like, yeah, you're kind of right. So we don't need that kind of, well, you know what, if they want to, they
hey, if they're talking, at least they're talking, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. So tell me about Boise. What is Boise like, you know, if I'm coming there for a visit, where am I going to go eat? What kind of food you guys got there?
Well, you're from the Northeast too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, we got two legit pizza spots. And I mean, I think that's prime, you know, being from New Jersey, that's like the number one thing. We got two pretty good pizza spots. Okay. You know, every bar, every restaurant in Boise is kind of pretty much the same. You know, pub food. We're really good with burgers and really good with, you know, you're gonna want to have French fries, obviously. Right. You know, this is where they're fresh from right here. So fries, burgers. I mean, that you can't go wrong popping into a spot and asking for a pub burger, asking for a pub fry. But if you're looking for pizza, there are two spots and only two spots that I would ever send anybody to.
Well, it's like when I lived in St. Louis, I don't know if you've ever been there, but the pizza in St. Louis is like total. It's St. Louis style pizza and it sucks. But everybody in St. Louis loves it.
They don't know any better. They got to come up. They got to come up to where pizza was invented, which is New Jersey, Seaside Heights, New York City. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to find some of those around me. We have like everything. You know, I'm right by Disney, so you have like every option available.
Yeah.
you know, around here, and there's a couple food places, but or pizza places, but what else? What kind of stuff do you do in the off season and, you know, outside of baseball?
I'm a big time golfer. I play golf. I'm not any good at golf, but I can hold my own. And I think that's the important part is I don't embarrass myself or embarrass the logo or the franchise when I get out there. So I try to play as much as I can. I'll travel around and do that, you know, whether it's Phoenix or Vegas or go back home or try to hit like some new spots every, you know, every year, you know, three or four or five different places. So, you know,
what's your score? What's your average score?
95 to 100, somewhere in that range. When I start really getting good, I can get into the 92s, 93s.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I stopped counting. I just do by how many balls I lose. It's how I do
it. That's a good number. I gauge it by how many beers I drink usually. So
we always joke, like my wife and I will go, and when we get out of the car, we look legit. Like, you know, we got the nice bag and the clubs and the outfits.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. I mean, that's primary.
We start swinging.
Yeah, it all goes downhill. You got every trinket that you could need. You got the speaker that looks like a golf ball. You're like, yo, guys, we are ready to go.
Yeah, nah. And I thought that buying the expensive golf clubs would help. Nah,
it doesn't help. I always thought the same thing too. I always my mantra is that the difference between myself and Tiger Woods was just he had better equipment because obviously we're doing everything else exactly the same.
Right. Yeah. No, exactly. No, that's an easy one. How do you guys, well, it's gotta be tough to golf in Boise though, because it's during season. Or are you still able to get out on road trips?
Still able to get out from
because it's when the team hits you the can't road. Go. You can't go now, right? You're not one of those guys that's out there golfing in the winter, are you?
I need about 10 more degrees. It needs to start with a 5. If it's 50 or above, I can get there. It has to also be sunny at the time. So if it's 50 and sunny, I can get out there. What's kind of unique?
Because I'm not one to go out there in the rain, but they don't care.
I'm not an animal. What's kind of unique about Boise is we're so far west. Like the Pacific time zone is literally 25 minutes away. So the sun sets so late. So if you leave work at 5 o'clock on an off day, you can get to the golf course by 5:20 and get 13, 14 holes in, no problem. Because the sun's setting at like 9:30.
Wow.
So it's kind of unique that way. It'll start getting nice here maybe in the next month or two. So when you get to those 50s, then you want to get out.
Nice. With this year, with the new league, will you be traveling with the team and stuff? Or what's kind of your day-to-day as a GM?
Right now we're focused on sales until we start getting some more information about, you know, what things we're going to need to do. So just renewing sponsorships, renewing our season C holders. We're waiting for a schedule. Once we have a schedule, it's about working with our groups and, you know, we're trying to figure out what kind of COVID restrictions we're going to have. You know, we're playing it as if, you know, things are fine, you know, by Memorial Day. And if they're not, we'll adjust on the fly. I can't project where we'll be on May 24th, 25th, but what I can do is project how I feel we would be doing it just in anything else and then adjust. So, you know, it's adapt.
You can't wait. That's for sure.
Yeah. Then that's been the mantra since really, you know, March 2020 has just been adapt. You know, we did unique things at the ballpark. We had an outdoor cornhole league come out and play on the field. We tried a restaurant in our picnic area. We had karaoke, a trivia. We had a friend of mine is a line dancing instructor, and he came out and had a couple, you know, whether it was 100 or 25 people out there on the field learning line dancing that kind of coincide with the restaurant. So it was, you know, it was bob and weave. It was, you know, we had to try to adjust as much as we could through 2020. I think we made it through successfully. And now it's about, you know, it's not dead. It's not gone yet, but we can't just pretend and just sit and wait and to find out what happens on May 31st or May 24th, whatever the date is. We've got to go. And so we're going to go.
Yeah. If you end up waiting, you'll be very sorry, yeah. You know, cause it takes a while. It's not an overnight thing to sell tickets, mm-hmm. and do promotions and all that. Now, when you guys, with your situation there, do you guys manage like the stadium? So like for outside events, like mm-hmm. you run that as well?
Yeah. Stadium's ours. So we own the ballpark. We don't own,
we own it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So we're, when it comes to upgrades, it's on us.
Right.
And when it comes to events, you know, we've done concerts here. We did, we've done beer fests and we'll continue to do beer fests, wine tasting events, weddings, you know, anything under the sun we can do to host an event here at the ballpark. It's not just a baseball stadium. It truly is a venue. And what's great about where we are, although it is old and there's nothing indoors, it's probably the premier outdoor venue in Boise for hosting events, and we can get super flexible in kind of the things that can do and can't do. We installed a video board a couple of years ago, which is something that for 30 years we didn't have. Right. And so we can do videos and things like that, movie nights. We're trying to we're just trying to get as creative as we possibly can to maximize the ballpark for those limited months. When we think about probably the stadium really only being mid-March to mid-October, at that point it becomes, you know, dormant because it's just too cold and there's nothing inside that I can do any events at.
Has there been discussions to build a new stadium or do major renovations?
We our ownership group has been in a lot of discussions since purchasing the team about a new venue. And it's had its ups and downs, and I'm not privy to a lot of those conversations, but I know they're still going. And so ultimately that's the goal. The goal is to get a new venue. Memorial Stadium, as is no secret, you know, was built before the golden age of stadium renovations, you know, when Camden Yards was built. And I think that was the true turnaround of when people could say, you know, these stadiums built after Camden Yards were built for renovation. Anything built prior to that was built for demolition. And Memorial Stadium was built to be destroyed.
Just wipe it down and start over. No, but I mean, I think what you're seeing, though, now when you look at these new ballparks, it's almost like less seating, more hospitality, more areas, more open areas. Yep. You know, I think, you know, the games are kind of becoming more social, you know, and they've always been, but just more so with, you know, with the groups and, you know, the younger crowd that, you know, wants to come out and just connect with people and, you know, have
I agree with that 100%. I think the game, I think all the games have gotten more social. I think it's from football on down, you know, football, basketball, hockey, baseball. When you know, you take a look at all four of the major sports and even throw soccer in there for the fifth one, it's a social event. It's no longer like, you know, football might be the one that's on the outside looking in when you think about it's like massive cars rolling into a massive parking lot, but the parking lot part is the social part. And then you go to the game. Yeah. Taking that tailgate / game experience into the ballpark is where I think all of the new venues are going, especially on the baseball side. It's like, all right, you come out, you go to the parking lot, you know, being from New Jersey, you go to, you know, down to Citizens Bank Park and you sit in the parking lot, you have a couple beers, and then you go into the game and you go into Citizens Bank Park and there's McFadden's and there's all these other places. You grab a cheesesteak. And I'm only using Philly because it was closer and I could drive to it as opposed to.
I've never been to the new stadium. I've been to the Vet a million times. That's what I grew up with, the Vet, man. That thing was.
whether you go to a 500 club, I think it was like $5 tickets in the 500 club. And you go up there and it's just like, you sit wherever you want. There's no concessions up there. Limited security, if any. I've spent plenty of times with a couple friends, especially the ones from college, those Mets Phillies games, where you find yourself tumbling down some seats from time to time.
Yeah. That stadium was it was unique. But again, that was all I really had as a kid, so I enjoyed it. I wasn't a Phillies fan, but I enjoyed it. So. So who are your other teams? You mentioned the Mets and the Knicks. Probably a Giants fan.
No, you know, I'm going to get caught into a little bit of a conundrum here. I'm a New England Patriots fan. I've been a New England Patriots fan my entire life. I have pictures of myself in a Drew Bledsoe jersey. I have people backing me up my entire life. Growing up, I wasn't a huge football fan, but Bill Parcells was the Giants coach. He's from Cedar, New Jersey. So he was a Jersey guy. When he took over the New England job, that's when I was like, that's my guy. And you want to say I got lucky? All right, I got lucky. And at that time when Parcells was with the Patriots was the time where I kind of fell in love with football, or football became part of, you know, what I was watching. And, you know, when Parcells left, it was just like, okay, fine, next coach, this is my team. And, you know, you wear the laundry and not the players anymore. And so, sure, you know, get Tom Brady 6 Super Bowls later. No biggie, right?
So are you rooting for him in Tampa, or are you diehard, you know, Patriots that you can't root for anybody else?
No, I'm not diehard. You know, I die easy is probably the best way to put it. So, yeah, of course I'm rooting for Tom Brady because, you know,
He's legit, man.
He's the GOAT, and he's the guy. And, you know, he brought me a lot of fun times. I've went up to a couple parades, been to a ton of games up there and all over the place. And I see no reason why I can't be happy for him. If it was Patriots, Bucks in the Super Bowl, I'd root for the Patriots. Luckily enough, the Patriots got a bye year this year, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be, it'll definitely.
I'm sure
be
the flames more. On the Twitter flames will start coming now. So, but it's, yeah. You know, listen, I was a Mets fan forever and a Knicks fan now, and a Knicks fan forever. So I got the yin and then I got the yang. So, you know, right, the world is balanced, as Thanos would say.
Balanced out. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Well, Mike, man, I appreciate you joining me, man. It's been fun chatting with you. I told my wife and son, I was like, we're going to take a cross country trip here soon. So I'm going to make sure because I want to get to like Montana and the Northwest, because it's an area I haven't been.
That's some beautiful spots up here.
And so really I just thought it would be a cool trip, like rent a small RV and check it all out. So,
well, let me know when you get up here, because I'll show you around as much as I know.
We'll get that pizza, man.
Sounds good.
Hey, podcast fans. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.